This damn it.
Recording in progress. Did you hear that?
Did they hire you to do that voice? Your sweet angelic voice.
Recording in progress.
That one is actually a little closer, like too close for comfort almost.
Oh, sorry. Did I make you feel like
But
the recording
I
like
enjoy it.
turned off or something?
Yeah. There's like a whole world out there where people just make Siri talk dirty or something, you know? I guarantee it.
If people are doing the same thing with the AI stuff. They're trying to get it to like break the mold, essentially, like break out of its constraints,
Yeah.
which is really funny.
I
And
saw a subreddit like that. It was like whatever, GPT hacking or whatever.
My wife uses GPT a lot more than I do. She calls it Chad. Like she thought people, like when people were saying like Chat GPT, she thought people were saying Chad GPT.
Amazing.
So she just calls it Chad.
It's like a better name, actually. I'm gonna start calling it Chad. I know I've heard that in French, Chat GPT sounds the same as cat, I farted. Like
Interesting.
that sentence, more or
And
less.
that's why naming is hard, because no
Naming
matter
is
what
hard,
you.
and often the name you didn't want to catch on is the one that just everyone remembers.
Oh,
So
yeah.
you can't rebrand ChatGPT now. It's too late.
I mean, speaking of like ChatGPT and AI, like there's so many of them now. I know Twitter is, they have Grok or something. Google
I
has
like
Bard
that.
or whatever, something else. But I don't know. I've only ever really used ChatGPT. I haven't actually never used Copilot, even though people like rave about it. So maybe one day I'll check it out.
I have interestingly internally HashiCorp just okayed like a demo usage of Copilot for the engineers officially, and I haven't turned it on because my experience with Copilot, which I had gotten an early access thing in VS Code like I don't know six months ago or some number of months ago, it is so often not what I want. And the things that suggest, you know, it's like, what's the hardest part of writing code? It's like reading code you wrote 6 months ago. And like that's ChatGPT. Like it gives you something that is, you have to parse it. You have to be like, am I missing any like non-obvious subtle bugs in here? And it's almost easier to just write code. I prefer it for like higher level conceptual things because then it's otherwise it's just like debugging a first year like software developer where you're like that this is not what I meant, this is not what I wanted, no, like look what you're doing here, this is going to make a bug, and then it's like, oh, I see that that will be a bug, here's a better version, and then
I'm
you're like,
so sorry that I
this
incremented
still
this before.
has the same subtle bug in it, like no.
I watched, so in my time, I watched a few people use Copilot while we were pair programming, and like it was really helpful with filling in the boilerplate stuff that you don't want, right? Like that stuff, it was fine with, but the rest of it, I don't know. I wasn't fond. You have a handler function or something, and it's like, logging middleware, and it gives you like a logging middleware boilerplate. And like, that's great, right? Everyone's happy. Everyone's good with that. And it works well. But like, so does LSP. LSP kind of gets you most of the way there,
And
right?
even
Like,
like snippets in VS Code, like
even snippets,
if I
yeah.
type HF and I'm in like a Go like web app thing, it writes me a handler.
Handler function. Yeah.
Just fill in what I want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
And it's like, I don't know. I don't feel the value with Copilot. But again, I haven't officially tried it myself for my own workflow, so I can't speak so poorly of it. But ChatGPT, I had fun with it. So I was messing with like gRPC, and I was messing with like Go plugins, and even just like some Rust stuff. And I Hey, ChatGPT, can you write me an example gRPC client and server in Go?
yeah.
Boom, done. Like, gives me everything I need, explains it
Yes.
well enough. Like, here's why you'd want to use it. Oh, great. Now, can you change the server to do something else? And it's like, okay, done. And it did that. And I found that to be extremely helpful, especially when like learning about new topics, like Go plugins, right? Like, they're not hard to understand, but if you come at it with zero context, you're like, okay, I can look up a plugin and then I can like assert on it and then use it. Great. How do I code this up? And the Go documentation doesn't really have a great example of it. So I went to ChatGPT, like, hey, give me a plugin. right? Like, give me a plugin that gets called and give me both files. Boom, done. I don't know.
That's a great point. That where it excels, and I find this too, that where it excels is in giving you context, especially initial context on a problem. Like you're coming to something new. I used it the other day for, I asked it. It had been a while since I did like any email security stuff, and like setting up an SPF record.
Oh, like SPF, DKIM, all that
DKIM.
stuff.
Yeah, like how do I make the DKIM key, and like how do I start signing messages? And then, oh, I need to demark like policy, right? Okay, like I know I start with like P equals none, but so nothing's enforced. So I monitor it for a while. I was like,
It's
how
funny
do
that you're saying this
these
because I
things work
just
together?
did this
Did
like 2 days ago.
you?
Like, my
Amazing.
wife comes into my room. She's like, "Hey, I got an email from Shopify that they'll stop sending email if we don't have a demark on my domain." And I was like, "Okay, boom, 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 done." And I'm like, this, like, first of all, for her to actually know, like, not what know a DMARC is, but for her to like actually care, right? It reached her. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. But yeah, those little things are so helpful.
And that's the thing. It's like I asked it, like, how do these things, can you just explain like SPF, DKIM, and DMARC to me, and just like how they fit into a general thing of email security, and also which order I would do those things in if I was gonna build up like something that didn't have any security or authentication. And yeah, for stuff like that, it's amazing. Even for things like I've used it, like you were talking about libraries, for comparing libraries, where I'm like evaluating them, like, okay, show me like the same simple example, but written with like two different libraries to see if I like the, because that's often hard to see from the docs, is like, is something actually nice to use? Like, is the API well thought out that you're going to be interacting with, even just from a library?
That's huge. 'Cause like, so for me, I'm not an early career engineer, right? Neither are you. I don't need to go through the getting started introductory topics over and over again, right? Like, if I'm moving database technologies, right? Maybe I'm going from MySQL to Postgres, or if I'm changing frameworks and I'm going from React to Vue, I don't need to be told what a database is or what a framework is over and over again. I know what these are. I need to know how it works for this now. Like, what are the things that I care about?
Yeah, and not for the toy example that the thing is really good at. It's like you
Yes.
have to like, is the where's the ugliness? Like, show me.
Right. And it's like the material that's out there on YouTube or on the documentation for most of these products is just assuming entry level people coming into the topic. And that's great, right? Because you do want to like grow the community and all that stuff. But with ChatGPT, it's like, no. You're my senior engineer that's pairing with me, and I can just ask you the direct
That's always my
questions.
prompt too. It's like you're
Oh.
an expert level programmer with deep experience in XYZ. You're helping me
Yeah.
debug
Yeah. It's just like,
whatever.
give it to me straight. Like, we're done. Just give me the answer, and that's all I want. And I want to ask follow-up questions. And it's shockingly good at that stuff. Like, really,
4
really,
is
really.
truly, it's mind-bogglingly good at
Yeah.
things that I thought were just outrageously hard, like computer science problems to solve.
Yeah. I've been doing the same thing with it. I've been asking it like, yeah, can you compare and contrast these two things? Like, what's the difference between server-side rendering and like static site generation? I'm just pulling examples out of my ass. But like, you ask it things like that, and it's nice. It gives you concrete like information about what to do. I probably should have like logged in and see what my history was, because I had some like interesting stuff there. But yeah, I use it to learn, and for me, it's really nice for that use case, and I like it a lot. So I don't know. I'm gonna continue using that. I don't pay for it. I did, but I don't anymore. But we'll see. Trying to figure out that sweet spot.
Yeah, I agree. It on the research end, I think Google's like in trouble if Bard isn't amazing, because like this is circumventing a lot of what people use Google for, is like that gathering that used to be like 17 different Google searches for us. Right now, it's one of these.
Well, part of the problem too is that, like, you go to the web for anything anymore, and even google.com, and you search whatever, first like four or five
I
things are
know.
going to be ads or sponsored
Sponsored
content.
trash,
And
exactly.
it's like, okay, so the discoverability is even lower now, because now I have to sift through that crap. That page of what I want to actually view, I have to now parse that to see if it's relevant to what I'm even looking for. Close the pop-up that they're going to tell me to try to send something. Close the cookie pop-up. Have to deal with all the average, like, it's just getting to the information you want has been layered with all of this middleware advertisements, cookie pop-ups, some other promotional. And it's like, sure, you can say, oh, go use a pop-up blocker, or go use this and go, set a pie hole and all that stuff.
Yes.
I shouldn't have to do that,
Just touch
right? Like,
the
just to see content.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's why I like ChatGPT. It's straight to the point. It's no BS. It's just right there. I like that a lot.
In the last, I'm gonna say month or so, I have noticed you bring up a very interesting point, which is also like SEO spam is like a huge problem that Google, I think, invests a huge amount of their search engine effort in fighting. Where I have started noticing that now that ChatGPT has this Bing integration, it is, I would almost say, possibly overusing that. It's like researching with Bing, and I'm like, oh no, what like SEO garbage like site are you clicking on? Because that, curating where that is, then you just run into the keyword problem again, and you kind of lower the quality of the content it puts out. But that is very research focused. I will say, I just heard an interesting story from a friend who one of their direct reports is using, not a native English speaker, and is using ChatGPT to edit their emails before they send them with
Nice.
incredible results. And the change was so abrupt and so good that my friend basically pulled this person aside and was like, are you using like ChatGPT or Grammarly or something for this? And they're like, yeah, they were so embarrassed. Like, oh yeah, like I'm using ChatGPT. And my friend's like, great, like that's amazing. Like, keep it up. Like,
But see, that's an example of somebody using the tool
yeah.
to better their, like,
Yes.
to solve a problem they
They're not
have,
cheating on a fucking test.
not cheating. It's not that they don't know how to speak, right? It's not that they don't know how to communicate. They're just struggling, like, transferring from language context to language context, and you're using ChatGPT to smooth that over, right? And it's like,
Exactly.
that's a smart use of the tool. The
Yes.
same way that, like, a senior engineer is not going to use ChatGPT, like, or maybe not going to, but should not use ChatGPT to write their entire project, but to help it learn about the things that you're doing, right? Like,
Yes.
hey, I'm writing this database query that does this. Is this like, is there any way to make it more optimal? Or is like, what's wrong
Is
with
there a
it at a high
SQL
level?
injection in some of this like thing that I'm doing that
You're
uses
using it
user?
in a smart way. And I think people, that use case is fantastic. And I love that use case. But the people that are using it to like kind of replace themselves in a way, right? Like, hey, ChatGPT, respond to this email for me. I'm not going to read the email. Just
Yeah.
respond to it. It's
That's
like,
so
come on, man.
sad.
That's, you're not even, who are you then? You know? I
That's
say all
true.
this as my wife is using ChatGPT to like help write her business plan and help write like, product descriptions and whatnot
But
because
how
it helps
much of
her.
that isn't kind of boilerplate? It is the thing
It
that ChatGPT
is.
is really
It
good at
is.
generating.
And she's also not great with English, right? English was not her first language either. So like for her, it helps a lot, right? Because she doesn't like know all of the vocabulary that she can use to
I'm
describe
amazed
things
English wasn't her
lately.
first language, honestly, having
Yeah,
spoken
I was too.
language. But
Sometimes when she's like makes like stutter some words, I make fun of her. But
wow.
she, yeah, no, she's great. She's like then and then. What's the difference
Yeah,
between
it's
those,
these
right?
little, yeah, of
It's the little things
course,
that trip her up,
like
right? Like,
consonants and
some the semantical grammatical style things in English
yeah.
where it's like I'm a native English speaker and even I'm like this is kind of
Yeah.
silly happening.
English is one of those languages, yeah. Like the basics are actually easy and getting it perfect is actually insanely hard. It's like harder than other languages.
The amount of time I spend searching for like should it be front end or front dash end or front space
Yeah.
end? Should it be sign up, sign space up?
Yeah.
Sign dash up,
Yeah, you
what?
see
Like,
them
I
all.
should spend time looking at these things.
Absolutely true.
But yeah, anyway, I know you want to chat a little bit about like job searching things and how that worked out and whatnot. So yeah, I mean,
You're coming off of a period of, I think, at first entertaining offers and things you were interested in, and then
yeah.
like more actively searching, like you've been through, and regardless of when whoever's listening to this is listening to it, we're talking about the end, second half of 2023, arguably the worst time in the last 10 years to be looking for a, if not more, like 15 years to be looking for.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to like when I started this industry now. Yeah, this is probably the worst job market, barring like the 2008 stuff. But even the job market wasn't so terrible in 2008. It
Yeah,
was just more
or
the
tech
housing.
was like okay. Like if you weren't in banking, you were like probably okay in tech. Yeah.
But yeah, it's been one of the worst markets, honestly. And we've suffered the largest number of layoffs, both in how many layoffs we've had and the number of people that were laid off in those layoffs.
Giant ones,
And
yeah.
like, it's been crazy. So yeah,
Some
I
cases where three of like the FAANG companies are laying off 10,000 plus people, you know.
you gotta like sit back and wonder, and like, you all have to just be in that secret communication channel with each other, just coordinating this crap at the end of the day.
Yeah.
There's, I mean, because you're all saying the same. You ever
Yes.
see those videos where they show the news channel and then they keep showing like more news channels all saying the same script?
Yes.
That you ever see one of those? Yeah. Like,
Absolutely.
it feels like that sometimes with the layoff announcements from these companies. It's all the same thing. You know, money was free and we overgrew and blah blah blah, and we messed up, but we're not going to take any repercussions for it.
Yeah.
We're lay off all these
Let
people.
us we are missing from the layoffs, even though apparently this is our mistake.
We messed up, but you're fired. Okay.
Yeah.
That's how it works. And it's just like, I don't know. At some point it's kind of annoying. But yeah, no, I was at HashiCorp for a while, for almost 5 years.
5 years, man.
Yeah. 4 years,
You didn't
10.
stay for your little like light up
I
sculpture.
should have. I should have stayed until
Bro, you missed
now.
that.
Yeah.
January 14th, baby. When I get mine, I'm gonna send you a picture and I'm gonna brag.
I saw some people that had it. Yeah, I should have stayed for that little light up 5 year prize thing, and maybe some more points in that system where you can buy, like,
Yeah, do we still?
you know what I'm talking about? Whatever that
I know
system was.
exactly what you mean. I got a water bottle.
Yeah. I redeemed my points for silverware set or something.
Oh,
Like, hey, it wasn't bad.
classy. Keeping it
Yeah,
classy,
try.
Simon. That's what I like about you.
Yeah. So yeah, it was, 5 years. It was time to leave. And I think I started looking in. I think I decided that I was going to start looking in like late July, and spent all of August and September, or well, all of August at least, and some of September, I think, prepping, like all interview prep. So it was tough. Like,
Explain the necessary interview prep these days.
yeah. That's a really good question. And I guess before I answer that, is like, I got to the point where I decided that it was worth me leaving, even in the bad tech market, right? Like, for multiple reasons, right? I felt like I was plateauing in my like growth, right? Not being as challenged as much. Also, political reasons, in the sense of like, any job you go into, you have like a there's a political side of it, right? And how you interact with people and whatnot. And there were certain people that I interacted with that I like kind of, like said the wrong thing at the wrong time to them, or didn't say the right thing at the right time and
Where
hurt
you know
those
that's gonna
relationships
like
that were.
affect you down the road.
Yeah, exactly. You know, right? Like, sometimes if you, even if you're a great employee that does all their work, that one message that you send in like a public channel where your director is looking at it could be the difference between getting a promotion in the next like 2 years, or just sitting at your level for the next 2 years. So there was some of that, and that was partially because I was, younger and more hot-headed, right? Whatever.
Okay, you're being very humble about this. Having seen some of the things you're talking about, I would say they were significantly overblown, possibly for other political reasons. That
Oh yeah.
is not a rude person, and I think anyone who has worked with him knows that.
Yeah, I
These
it's one
are
of the
incredibly
things
minor
that
things for anyone listening.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, while I may have been the people's champion, I was definitely not
Management's
management's champion, right? And like, being the people's champion is great. You're fighting for the right reasons, but if management is not on your side, you're not gonna go anywhere, right? So kind of that. But yeah. So I decided it was time to go. And even my wife was like, you should have left like a year or two ago. And I was like, all right, you know what? You're right. But I decided that I was going to go. And the very, very, very first resume, or resume prep, the very, very first like interview prep thing that I did was resume. Honestly, before I even like did anything else, I made sure that my resume was tight.
Makes
And what I
sense.
mean by that is, like, nobody reads resumes anymore, right? They just put them into the applicant tracking system, the ATS, and they get scanned, scored, and organized, right? All the little keywords that they're looking for are like tracked on your resume. They score it, and If you happen to score high enough for that role, some recruiter might actually click on your profile because you'll be in the top of that list of recommended people, right? And that's how it goes. So the very first thing I did was resume review and resume updating. And I use a site called resumeworded.com. And that resume worded, yeah, resumeworded.com to score my resume, give me feedback on it and whatnot. And when I first entered it, it was like a 51 or 52. And I worked it all the way up to like a 92 score.
Nice. And what were the biggest wins there? Like, what thing few things did you do that made like the biggest difference?
Yeah, it's a good one. One was like the bullet points phrasing. So using past tense impact driven verbs,
Sort of like
right? Like
active.
directed, yeah, engineered, architected, right? Implemented. Like those impact driven verbs coupled with results like oriented statements, right? Like, developed a XYZ to solve 1, 2, 3 that increased the throughput by ABC, right? Like you following that form, and I know it sounds so silly when you say it like that,
The
but
resumes that I get to look at as an engineer, actually interviewing people, getting interviews, they all look like that.
you have to, because if
Should
even
tell
if
you
you think it's
something.
silly, your competition is following that and they're scoring higher than you. So you
Yes.
have to now do that. So
Yes,
I
true.
reworked my resume, did that. Most of the time was just spent on the bullet point updating. And then there was a few other things like my date formatting was off a little bit, so it wasn't like able to see that the chronological like ordering of my positions. My skills section wasn't like OCR, optical character recognition, like
Friendly.
friendly. Thank you. Yeah, it wasn't friendly for that.
Interesting.
So I had to update that a little bit. And then after that, I got it to score really high.
Amazing. Thank you. I am sure that will help many people just having heard these like high impact things.
And I did that first because the worst position that you can be in is when your friend taps you on the shoulder, right? Like if you came up to me and said, "Hey, Matt, I know you're looking. My friend over here
Yes.
is hiring.
Yes.
They would love someone like you. You want to apply? Give me your resume." And then I have to turn to you and
And
be
you're
like,
like,
"All right, I have to go update
need
it."
like a weekend? Yeah,
Yeah,
right.
that's the worst position you can be in because like everyone thinks that networking is like, "Oh, I know someone and I tap them on the shoulder when I'm ready for them." And it's like that's half of it, but the other half of it is like that it's a momentum based thing, right? If you tap me on the shoulder and you say, "I have someone hiring, give me your resume," and I give you my resume right then and there, and you turn around and give it right then and
That's
there to
gonna
me,
happen. That's a thing where
that
you're getting
moment
an
is
interview
already
like
there, right? And
90%
it's
of the time.
hard to stop that. So I try to tell people like the importance of that, right? Like, and I think back to my job at Micro Center. I went to Micro Center, bought a computer, talked to the manager, and I was like, "Oh, I love this store. It's really cool." She's like, "Oh, we're hiring. If you want, bring your resume by tomorrow." What did I do? I brought it by tomorrow,
Yeah,
right?
you spent all that fucking writing a resume and then bringing it back.
I didn't bring it by next week. I didn't bring it by next month. I brought it by tomorrow while I'm just had yesterday's is there that I can reference, and it builds that momentum and you go forward. So that's why I did the resume first, so that I can like take advantage of while I'm looking and I let people know that I'm looking. When things come in, it's like, "Here's the resume," you know? So I
Solid.
had that. Then after that, honestly, was the harder part of the whole LeetCode code system design grind. And nobody wants to hear it
I
because
feel
it
like you
sucked.
can knock system design out of the park. If I had to, like, tell me how spot on I am here. I'm gonna say you spent like 20% of your time on system design, 80% on like the LeetCode gauntlet that everyone has to do. Like, oh, I just invented quicksort. Like, dope. Like in 45 minutes. Yep, optimal solution.
If I actually like tracked my time, I'd say you're probably spot on. To be completely honest with you. Like, if you can't pass the LeetCode questions, you're gone. Right? And it's not a fair assessment all the time. It's not the best way to interview, but it's the way that the companies are choosing to interview. Some now are trying to like stray away from that a little bit better and like go different ways. But for the vast majority of roles out there, it's going to be, "Oh, hey, Dave, I see that you have applied to our job. here's a technical assessment. If you can't pass that, you're out. Oh, you passed the technical assessment. Okay, here's a pair programming session. Da, 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 da. Like, that's what you're going to get for
That's
most of
the
your
late code
interviews.
medium that comes up in that pair programming session. Yep.
That's what you're going to get. So I spent my time grinding, grinding, grinding the LeetCode code stuff. And I used Algo Monster, algo.monster, to do that. It just basically walked you through the different algorithms and data structures in the order that is most beneficial to you to learn, right? Like, because most of the time, if you follow something like LeetCode or NeetCode, they start like from the bottom and they work their way up. And that's
Yeah.
great. Algo Monster is like, nope, here's the data structures that you need to know for your interviews and most important. So, like, two pointers and graphs were higher, like, earlier for you to learn than other things,
Yeah,
right?
because you're just so much more, it's sort of based on likelihood. Yeah, that makes sense. It's funny, I still keep a list for myself just as like subconscious, like practice in order, based on just a whole bunch of like the, I don't know how this compares to Algo Monster's order. Theirs is surely better than mine, but it's like things I saw most often in interviews or in like these kind of real life situations. DFS, BFS, hash maps and sets, binary searched, linked lists with cycle detection, two pointers, backtracking, any kind of like dynamic programming.
You're pretty much like right there. Like the Algo Monster list is binary search, depth first search, backtracking, breadth first search, graph, and two pointers. And then there's more after that, but like that's kind of like if you start with two pointers, you're ready. But yeah, and notice how binary search and BFS and DFS are like way up there. Every place I interviewed asked me at least a binary search problem or a BFS DFS graph problem. Every single
Interesting.
place. There was not one place that did not ask me a graph or a binary search question to show you the importance of that stuff, right? It's like people are like, oh, I never need to know graph problems. No. Literally every place asked me a graph question.
Yeah, it sucks. It's like I feel worse. I don't feel so bad for people like us who are like software engineers who have to learn this stuff, because it's like, look, yes, it is stupid to have to memorize like running code for this stuff, but on the other hand, that like just cements the concept into your brain. So it's not like a net loss for you that time. I
It's
do
not a net
feel bad for
loss.
like front-end engineers and people who just don't need any of this shit, who still have to go through the same thing.
The front end engineers, like, it depends on what type of front end engineer you are, right? Like, if you're like more layout UI front end, then yeah,
Yeah,
you
that's right.
probably never need this stuff. But if you're the front end engineer that's like actually writing the code to interact with
Yeah,
API and like
taking JSON
using
from an API
that,
and still doing real sort of programming on the front end instead of
then
just.
some of these things actually make sense, especially like the graphing ones where you can like do
Fair.
like an ordering and stuff, right? Like a what is it called? A not a DAG per se, but like a dependency, like essentially like take a graph and like order
A
it so that
directed, any kind of directed graph. Oh, like topological sort or something.
topological sort. Thank you. I couldn't think of the thing. Yeah, like that actually can be important, especially like if you're writing code for a like school. And I have to take courses in a certain order, and you need to show me the order I need to take my courses in. That's topological sort. That's it.
Love. Kids, check out Dave's topological sort Go package in the description below. One, see, this is the thing. I think this is one good thing I'll say for LeetCode. And I started off hating LeetCode. I mean, hating it with a passion reserved for things that we're not good at doing, you know? But as I sort of went through, and I'm still no expert on LeetCode things, but I discovered a few of these things that are less used, but so just like fascinating from a I like computers perspective that like, yeah, I went and wrote a topological sort library because I was like, wait a sec, this is what makes Terraform work. This is all Terraform is doing, like underneath. Like this is what it's doing.
Literally it. If you think about it, that's literally it. It's like, oh, build graph, like parse nodes, build
Exactly.
graph,
Make a graph.
logical sort that graph,
Figure out a
run
valid.
the applies.
Exactly.
Like,
Exactly.
that's it.
That's it. That's
Not
what
to
like.
oversimplify it in the, like, because there's a lot that goes into it in a sense, but at a high level, that's it.
And like you said, it's everywhere. Like your package manager does this. The other thing you mentioned does this. You know, I had a problem at work where if I had not known about topological sort, in fact, we didn't know about topological sort, not really, in that flexible way that like doing it in LeetCode kind of gives you if you really spend time with it. We had a problem that we were like, oh, we can't do this. Like, we can't solve this. And the problem was basically like, have users write configs for like things that run, and then also be able to specify dependencies between those things. Like, that's a textbook topological sort, or like it's a directed graph kind of problem. Topological sort is like what you use to do that. And we just were like, yeah, like this is a later thing. Like, no one really saw how to solve it. And as soon as I did topological sort, the toy program that I wrote to demo the library was solving this thing that three of us were like scratching our heads about a year ago. You know, it's like it's a real thing and it crops up everywhere. Go
It
ahead, sorry.
is. And it's like just knowing about it, knowing what's out there. And as you encounter different problems, you can be like, oh, wait a minute. I remember that there was a graphing thing that like helped me with this sort of problem. And like going back to AlgoMonster for a second, that's why I chose that platform specifically. So there's like this website called like techinterviewhandbook.org or something. And it basically has all the stuff that I basically just followed that, and it linked out to like Resume Worded, and it linked out to AlgoMonster, and it linked out to all these places. But whatever. So going back to AlgoMonster for a second, is what I really like the most about it is, one, it was a little bit more raw. So like there's some typos in the like description of the code or whatever. And you know, there's some language there's a few languages that you can choose from, like Python, Java, C++, Go, JavaScript, whatever. And some, depending on what language you choose, the example might not be perfect, but I kind of liked that because it forced me to really think about what I'm doing. And even more so, they provided not just like the code and walking through it, but they provided you with like templates, right? Like, here's the template for a binary search. You have the left pointer, you have the right pointer, you have calculate the midpoint, blah, blah, blah. Here's the template that you'd use, you know? And then same thing for like two pointers. Right, here's how you would do a typical two-pointer problem, and here's how you do a typical backtracking problem. Here's the high-level template you'd follow
That's
to
cool. I
do.
think heuristics are such a big part of it that seeing something like that sounds very valuable.
That was super valuable to me because just knowing the template, and then it's just like during an interview, you can repeat it in your head and be like, okay, two-pointer problem. I know I need these pointer, that pointer. I know I need to like, or sliding window was one that I got, and like the sliding window problem, like, okay. Give me like get the window while window valid, do this while not window valid, do that, right? Like just getting that high level template really helps you collect your
Your
thoughts and go through it. You know what I mean? And I don't know, that I liked. It was a grind literally every day, every single day for the entire month of August. I was just going through and just practicing AlgoMonster, right? Going through it, and it sucked. Even my friends that were like watching me do it, because I was sometimes stream it in my like in Discord to some of my friends, they were looking at me like, what are you doing? You know, like, or like, why are
Kids,
you doing
this is
this?
how you guarantee yourself a mid five figure raise for your next job.
Well,
This is
yeah,
the mandate. Rip it off.
I don't want to do this. I need to do this because I want a new job and I want to up level myself and I want to like show people that I can do this, because if this is the bar they're using to measure people, I need to make sure that I'm passing the bar. You know, like that, like there's just no other way around it. And if you were
lot
to
of
look at my
people.
like, code, you'd see like July and August is just all filled with like green squares, because that's when I was doing all of the stuff.
I think one thing I really admire about you is a lot of people, myself included at the beginning, take the opportunity when they run up against LeetCode and find out that they suck at it, take that as an opportunity to be like, LeetCode is the worst thing ever. We shouldn't be using this. Blah, 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 blah. I'm a good programmer, but I can't pass these. So, like, you're passing over me if you're using this to hire. There's truth to that. But it's like you're a realist, and one of the things I admire about you is that you're not afraid of hard work, and you're like, if this is the way the world is, like instead of spending all my energy complaining about the fact that it is this way, which is kind of a giant waste of energy, I'm gonna just get this thing done, and you got it done.
That's it. And now, like, I know those things now, right? Like, I know BFS, I know these data structures, I can use them. And as I go to different programming languages, I can implement them. And I'm not the best. Yeah, if you ask me, like, hey, Matt, great, implement that, like, do Dijkstra's algorithm off the top of your head, I'm like, okay, man, I don't remember. I have to look it up real quick. But then I can do it.
be
Right?
fair, any programmer who doesn't look it up real quick is that's like drunk driving, but with like
Yeah, exactly.
a like
Exactly.
no, just that's what CLRS is for. Like open the book.
Exactly. Exactly. And like I have, they're like right here. I have both volumes.
Oh yeah, I see it. Yeah, that green bottom and the little red title.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, but what I found the most valuable was is my speed of reading a prompt and mapping it to code and like understanding like what I need to do, like read problem, understand constraints, understand the pattern of what it's doing. Like, oh, this is a sliding window problem. Oh, this is a BFS problem. That became really quick
Yeah.
compared to what it was before.
Like pattern matching, basically.
Pattern
Like, know
matching,
what
being able
that
to do
question
that.
is
Yep.
asking you.
And being able to like look at a problem, talk about it, ask the questions. That was the most valuable thing is speeding my programming up. And I did some, there's like a thing called like Code Clash or something online where like a group of you can all go into the same clash and they give you a like pretty simple problem. But it's like who can solve it the fastest or who can solve it in, you know, the least amount of lines of code. Silly things like that. I would do that with my friends.
That's good. It
And
adds that like little bit of realistic pressure that you're going to be
yeah.
under.
And what I liked about it the most was LeetCode is like write function, right? I will like write a function and I'll give you inputs and you give me outputs. This one was like your inputs coming over standard in, you have to read it and then print out the standard out. So it was like same concept of input and output, but instead of you just writing a function, now you needed to know how to like read standard input from your programming language of choice. And it's just like a slightly that little curveball, because that's how you're going to get it in an interview, right? An interviewer, they're not going to be like, write me a function and do this. Like they are, but then they're going to say, okay, write tests. And you're not going to have a testing framework. So the way you're going to have to write tests is to write them out manually, right? So it's like you need to know how to like handle those silly curveballs and focus on like kind of what really matters, you know? But yeah, that was kind of my LeetCode journey, and I got really good at it. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I got really good at it. But one thing I'll say is like I chose Go for my language, and I probably shouldn't have.
I feel the same way.
It's
All
a
my LeetCode code is
big
written in Go, and
ass.
I'm like, why didn't I do this in two lines of Python?
Yeah, there were some like questions where I'm like, okay, I can do this in Python actually pretty simply.
Yeah.
And if I do it in Go, now I have to make a struct. I have to put state in the struct, make a method to do that. Or I have to make an anonymous function so I can call it. It's just way more verbose than it needed to be. But it was nice because some of the
Nice to
companies
see
that
all of your answers be 99.2% faster than everyone else's.
that is nice too. And also, like there was one like you're given a series, like one company asked me, you're given like a stream of log lines or something, parse them and do analytics on them, right? So basically it was just a
Ooh.
text file of log
Basically,
lines.
you want, are you like streaming that and keeping like a moving average in memory, or are you keeping it all, reading it all into memory and then analyzing it?
For them, they just gave you like I don't know, like 200 log lines and said, read them, parse them, and give me this answer these questions about the data, right? So pretty
That's a
simple,
good
like
interview question. Can I just say,
it
like,
was
I think.
great. I spent most of the interview parsing a log line into a Go struct the hard way.
Fucking go. I know. It's the thing, it's
So it's like, you know, like and I did it in a way where instead of just like parsing a line, like parsing, like reading the whole line and then like, you know, find the duration field and then look one character later and do that and then find this. Like I didn't do that. I parsed it one pass left to right. And the person that was interviewing me was like kind of looking at me in the sense of like, why are you like spending all this time parsing it? But then when I finished that, answering all the questions about the data was like
Instantaneous. You have it in a struct.
3 minutes to answer all the questions. Like, oh, can you sort the data like this? Yep, done. Boom, sort.
Yeah, it's like give me a min function or less than or
Can
whatever
you
Go
add
wants. Yeah.
up or can you give me the average rate? Yep, boom, that's done too. And it's like now, since I spent the time doing that hard part, any question I had to ask about the answer about the data
Yeah.
instantaneously. And it was great. And
Feels
it was
like
just,
transferred a to the data, like what do they call it? Like data analysis, data engineering, like circles, pretty well. Cleaning the data is the hard part.
Fun, but it showed them like, and then the fact that I did that in Go versus like JavaScript or like Python, where parsing that would have been far easier, right? Because in Go, I had to do the whole like, okay, you parse this part and that's a number. Now you have to convert it to a number and blah, blah, blah. And in JavaScript and Python, it's just they don't care. They just yeet that around. So the fact that I was able to do it in Go, they were like, oh, and we're a Go shop. You know your Go. You're done, right? Like,
Pass that
congrats.
interview unless you spend the first 3 quarters of it getting the struct just right
Yeah. Yeah.
that
So just like
you're gonna
it worked out. So I liked it, but that was kind of my LeetCode journey. Some companies really like got under my skin. Like there was one company that I really, really want to name, but I guess I'm not because I'm a good person. They asked me four interview questions, four coding questions, right? I got all of them except for one correct with optimal space and time. The one that I did not get correct with optimal space and time, I got correct, just not optimal space. And it was the last coding problem on a Friday, last interview. And since I didn't get optimal space, they rejected me for that. And they were like, oh, you can go interview again for a different team. And I was like, no, I'm done. Like, I'm good, man. But yeah, you gotta take that, the L's, and keep going.
Yeah.
But yeah, all in all, I guess to cap off the interview discussion, and you can see that we spent 80% of our time talking about LeetCode, just like I spent 80% of my time talking, like studying
That
it.
is in 2023 and 2024, that is what it is, folks. Like,
Yep, it really is what it is. It's sad, but it is what it is.
and you can be philosophically opposed to it and avoid any company that does it, but cut your pay in half. Like, get ready.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and say LeetCode is the way to interview. It's not. It's one part of it. Like, it's one aspect, and it should be a multifaceted interview. We didn't even mention behavioral interviews at all, but that's a super important part of everything too. Tell me about a time when you did this. Tell me about a time when you did that. You need to know
Star
how to answer those
format of your
questions.
answers and the yeah.
Yep, the star format or the car format, whatever one you choose to follow.
That's
Same
the
thing.
shit you drill in a week,
Yeah.
and you got to spend the 3 months before drilling the other stuff just to make it to those interviews, you
But
know?
like you and I, we can talk to people. We're more extroverted people. We know how to talk to people. I didn't really prep for those because I already kind of had those skills, and I can talk about these things for hours if you want. System design, I did bytebytego.com. I did that, went through like half of their 30 lessons, and just learned basically throw Redis in front of everything, right? No, I mean
Also,
I joke.
sometimes you need a queue.
I joke about it, but the high
Yeah.
level idea is just. The high level idea is just like find information, build your assumptions and your constraints, solve the problem, tell why you solved the problem. Oh, the problem's changed, do it again, right? It's just an iterative approach. Like get the information, present a solution, present why, debate that. Oh, constraints change, redebate it. Oh, constraints change, redebate it. And you just do that again and again, and eventually you'll get a good system designed, right?
And I take it back. You don't need Kafka for anything. You
Yeah. One
just R push L pop on Redis, and you're good.
Yeah.
There's your
And one person, like, I didn't say Redis for one of the interviews. I was like, oh, so instead of storing this data on disk, I'll put it in a memory cache. That way we can, like, access it faster, da da da. And they were waiting for me to, like, say Redis. They were like, kept probing and probing. I was like, do you want me to say
guy with
Redis?
clipboard not writing, and as soon as you say Redis, he's
Was
like,
like, and I asked the interviewer, I was like, are you just waiting for me to say, like, Redis? He's like, yes. And I was like, it doesn't matter what I use. Like, the whole idea is that it's an in-memory
are you
cache rather
sure about that? And you're like, no, Redis. And he's like, correct.
than. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever see that Miss Congeniality where she's like, I want harsher punishment for jail people, and everyone's like, oh. She's like, no, world peace. That's what that feels like. That's
Exactly.
what it feels like. It's like,
That's
oh,
exactly.
in-memory cache,
Yeah.
Redis. Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Why don't you just say its name? Yeah.
Come on, man. Whatever. So that was a fun one.
That's
But
how
yeah,
it would be interviewed by a mid-level engineer. It's like, there's
the
other ones
system
out
design,
there too, but.
yeah, exactly. The system design was like, I don't know, it's not as important unless you're more senior, right? The more
Yeah.
senior you are, the more important it becomes. And I don't think there's any way you can prep for a system design other than reading all of the Byte Go stuff, all the system design resources out there, they cover the same stuff. Design YouTube, design Instagram, design a file system, design that, right? They just cover the same content, and it's basically just like a blog post of what to consider. Read a couple of those, understand what a load balancer is, understand why you'd want to use caching, understand like distributed system problems, like latency and stuff. And for the most part, you'll be fine. Like, how data, if you can follow how data flows through a system, you're fine. But yeah, and that was kind of it. I think I sent, looking at my, I kept all of them in like email folders. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 8 places that I applied to in my email folders. I think there were like 3 more that I applied to, or 4 more that I applied to that I didn't put in an email folder because either I got auto rejected by their like bots, or they just never got back to me. So all in all, I think it was about 10 to 15 applications that I sent out. Got calls back for 8 of them, and then got offers from 2 of them. So all in all, really not bad.
That's see, that is where things have changed in the last year and a half. It's like that email to interview rate is about, feels like about steady for me. That offer rate is like a precipitous drop from a few years ago. Like, I feel like you would have gotten offers at 7, and the 8th one you just like flubbed because it was a
Oh
prospect.
yeah, no, I mean like
Now you're like perfect operating at a such a higher level than you were back then.
yeah.
It's like, it's just like if it's not.
And I've never been one to like spam out applications, right? I was always picky about where I applied to, and I was always like very focused. So you'll see that I didn't send more than like 15 applications out there, And even in my earlier in my career, I still didn't do that. I only applied to a handful of places. I'm not using a bot to send out hundreds of applications or spam. Like, I'm not doing that.
It's
That's a waste
not
of
exact,
time.
like
Waste of
it
time.
is a percentage game, but not in the way that those people think. Those people are
Correct.
getting more interviews because as soon as they get a call and they have no idea about the company and they say the same like sad, like a improvisational reason why they want to work there, it's like, dude, they know. They know that that's not your cover letter. Like, they know.
Yeah, I mean, to look at, to name some of the ones that I was interviewing at. So I interviewed at System Initiative. So they're a startup that's like doing infrastructure as code, but like infrastructure as models now, like drag and drop like models. Really, really cool stuff. Led by the chef creator. So they're doing that. That was a fun place to interview for. Ultimately, they went with like another candidate that was, more aligned to what they're looking for. It was cool as hell. They were like 7 people startup, chatting with all of them. Really nice. I contributed a pull request to their repo afterwards. I didn't get a job with them, but I made really good relationships with them. And it's like you got to learn more about the product. Datadog interviewed with them, and it was funny because they were like, "We're the only company that hasn't laid off." And I'm like, "Okay, you know what? Get out." Like, what kind of shit is that? Gusto, HR platform, Apple. Apple's interviews are pretty fun. They asked me some pretty hard questions that I was actually surprised about. They like gave me like code, and they were like, "Hey, what does this code do?" And I'm like, "That's a fork bomb." Right? Like, that's what that would eventually be, but they want you to break it down. Oxide, applied to them. Their application process is basically you fill out this big pamphlet of information about yourself. You're interviewing yourself essentially. It was really cool. And made me think about a lot of stuff. Cockroach, Netflix, and DigitalOcean. I ultimately ended up taking Cockroach, so it was good.
Dope.
But yeah,
That's a really amazing overview. Thank you for spending the
you're
time
welcome.
going through it. I think, yeah, it's just it's rough out there, and I think seniors like us have it, while we have it easier, I think this shows it's not the cakewalk it was just a few years ago, where it was like, oh yeah, you want like a 40, 50 grand raise? Like, just come over here. The interview's a formality. Like, we can tell you've done real stuff. Like, come work for us. Those days are. It's going to take a couple of years for that to come back.
Those days are for sure gone. Like, maybe they'll be back depending on the market or whatever, but they're for sure gone. You have to be definitely focused on where you're applying, what you're applying for. You have to know what you want essentially. Don't just mass apply. There were some really cool companies like Tailscale and whatnot that I applied to, but they were like, "Listen, we already filled the role," or we're not, you don't match what we're looking for. And I was like, great, y'all are still cool in my book. Like, whatever. You know, at the end of the day, it's a numbers game. But yeah, I mean, just you have to be ready. I think a lot of people want the job and they want to be able to get that new pay raise, but they want to do zero effort to get ready. Like, do something. Even if you just say, you know what, forget LeetCode, forget all this. I'm gonna go build a project and then talk about all that. Go for it. Do something. Don't
Of
just sit there
course.
waiting. But yeah, I mean, my real motivation that I didn't tell you, my Dr. Evil motivation was that, remember that salary video we did and we all said our salaries and whatnot? I was like, it's time for me to get a raise. That's why I'm interviewing. No.
I mean, it's business out there. Like, we're not doing this just for the. If I was doing this just for fun, I would still do it. I'd just do it for like 10 hours a week. You know what I mean? It's
No,
like,
I
what
agree.
tells you different? Is it like, it just. Businesses are out to make money, and so are we. Like, that is.
Well, that's kind of that was like the other half of why I wanted to look was money. There was like half was money and half was like growth slash political bullshit. But the money half was I looked at levels at FYI. I saw what people my years of experience, my level make, and I'm like, wow, I'm underpaid. Like significantly underpaid, right? Because at the time of the video, I said what I was at 185 or whatever, 185,000 a year, and I was like, okay, and that's great, right? I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh,
No.
woe is me, I'm so poor, I can't afford. Like, no,
We are
that,
having this discussion knowing that that's
yeah,
fine, a wonderful and very lucky thing to make. But of course, like, we're talking about optimizing here.
right. But it's like when you look at other people with my experience level or things like that, or even lower experience level getting paid more than me, say, okay, wait, I'm leaving money on the table here. I should go do something about it. Also, I'm in a high cost living area, a single income house. More money makes life a little bit easier. So I used that when I was like negotiating and thinking about it and thinking about moving. And I ended up securing a role where the base is 225. So pretty significant jump if you think about it. And it's like
Plus
the
shares in a
food.
company that is very likely to be around in 10 years,
Yeah.
doing what you're doing now, with those shares
Exactly.
being a lot more.
So I went from 180, what was I, 181? I was 181 to 225 or 185. One of them. I think I gotta check that. I gotta check my own video because I don't even remember how much I made at HashiCorp
Just in the
now.
rear now, man. Don't even
Yeah,
look.
it's in the rear view. But so let's say it was 181. From 181 to 225, like
Huge.
that's a
Huge.
significant jump for what? Me spending 2 months of time and maybe 300 bucks because Algo Monster was like 80 bucks, Resume Warrior was like 40 bucks, Byte Go was like 80, but right for me spending like 300 bucks and 2 months of my time, I get to get 40 plus K more a year or whatever. Yeah, I'm taking that deal every time, right? Like I'm taking that 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, it's like you 100x that investment easily. Back
Yeah. And it's just like,
on your
and
time.
I think the best part overall to like tie it with a bow is that I did it in public, right? I did it like there was people that I mentor, there's people that I talk to that are new to the field or like, you know, looking for jobs and whatnot. I showed them the prep firsthand. I streamed it on Discord. I had voice channels with them. I even like recapped my interviews with some of them and it's like say, hey, here's what they asked me. This here's kind of like what they're looking for. I showed them that it was possible to do this, right? I didn't just like go on Twitter and be like, hey, look at me and my new job, or like, hey, look at my blog post. I showed people for real, like, here's what it looked like day in, day out. Oh, by the way, here's the offer letter. Like, here's what I got out
They're
of it.
connected. They're not, you didn't just get the cherry on top without eating all the vegetables first.
Exactly. Do the typical Instagram post like living my best life. I'm
Yeah,
built.
exactly. Just hanging
Or
out in
like
the Google building. It's like, yeah, bullshit.
exactly. So yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. I guess that's the summary. Is it's tough, but if you put the work in, you will be rewarded in one way or another.
Congrats, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
For
Yeah.
you. You deserve this.
I know in those, so I know I've been preparing for jobs and whatnot. And I know you've been spending your time playing with the best programming language in existence.
Hands down, there is only one answer. It's Elixir. No.
Yes.
It's the there I said it. No, I don't actually feel that way. It's interesting. It's just a very different experience. We were talking about this. I've been thinking about it a lot, and if you've been watching the channel, some of the haven't made a ton of videos this year, but a bunch of them have been about like playing around with Elixir, comparing
Yeah.
it to, like, my workflow in Go. You know, I work in Go all day long, and you know, when I'm doing hobby stuff, I've been using Elixir. I've been learning a lot about kind of the Erlang VM and OTP and like that thing. You're not marrying like a, it's not like switching from like Go to Rust, for example, or Go to C or something. It's like you are marrying it, any language. Yes, you are also marrying the ecosystem, but I feel like OTP, Elixir, Erlang, it takes it further because you're marrying a distributed system, an infrastructure, basically, like idea that's underpinning this whole thing. You know, like other programming languages give you like a binary, an executable file or something that maybe needs to, maybe it runs on the machine, maybe it runs on a VM, whatever, an interpreter. This stuff is like you, yeah, it compiles down to like bytecode that runs on an Erlang VM, but then you can just like make more Erlang VMs. It's like, ever heard of like AWS autoscaling? Like, dope, let's make like 100 nodes. Like, okay, your code's now running or can run on 100 nodes. You know, there's, you
Cool. I'm
import
looking at
a
the OTP
library.
stuff.
It's wild. I mean, it's
So you joined
wild.
a cult, is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Okay,
Yeah.
perfect.
I have sold all my worldly possessions and put my money in the freezer. I'm about to drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's been an interesting experience. You know, it is truly in every sense of the word, like not apples to apples. Like I Go has really grown on me as a language to just like get shit done in. I went from preferring Python for pretty much everything to preferring Python for like personal stuff.
Yeah.
Really, I'm faster in Go for many, for anything like real size that's beyond like script sized, like beyond a 50 lines or whatever. In Go than I've ever been in any other language.
Yeah.
And Erlang is just a very different beast.
We gotta, like, I think it maybe in our next chat, we gotta chat a little bit more about that. I just wanted to, like, ask the high level of, like, how it's been, 'cause you're not the only one that I know that has been using Erlang and Elixir specifically. Like, even I was talking to the people at Changelog because I was at All Things Open with them. Their changelog.com
You mentioned
is
it's a
Elixir.
Phoenix app,
They're,
right? Yeah.
yeah, it's a Phoenix app. They're doing their thing. I think they have some Ruby as well, but I think they moved some of the heavy lifting stuff to, like, Elixir, and they're happy. Right, like, from what they say, that they have a podcast. I don't know if it's a show or if it's just, like, episodes on that show, but it's basically their Kaizens, where they talk about what they've done for their own infrastructure, like what improvements they've made and what they've done. And they talk about Elixir on that because, you know, they move things over to Elixir and whatnot. And it's pretty interesting to hear. I've done this much Elixir, right? Zero. I've done zero Elixir, zero Erlang. But the people that I know that have used it, like, nobody speaks poorly of it. Everyone loves it, you know. And I think even on the Stack Overflow developer survey that they do every year, I think Erlang's one of those where it's like the people that use it continue using it and continue loving it. Like, that's how it scores all the time,
Yes.
right? It's like a darling child for people that
Yes.
use it.
Yes. It
So we definitely
is.
look at that more and talk about it more.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say, it is basically like the inverse or like opposite in many ways of Go, but it's very interesting and usable. I think the biggest hang up for me, and I've used entirely functional languages before, like I've used Clojure before, just like 10 years ago, but which is a Lisp sort of dialect.
Yeah.
It's on the JVM. So I'm not a stranger to like the functional style. I will say that because I've been using Go for like 4 or 5 years now, day in and day out, some things that come very natural to me in an imperative style have been hard to translate, or I have
Yeah.
translated efficiently. You mentioned like two pointers before, and I was literally last week, I had like the computation in my head that I wanted to do. It was like basically looking at two, I had two lists of things and I wanted to look at them. Actually, this is something I can talk about. Talking about making a representing a calendar in memory. And so I have calendar days, a list of calendar days that has been generated from somewhere, and I have a list of calendar events that I'm about to join to those
Yeah.
days. What I don't want to do is traverse, like have an N squared thing where I traverse
Yeah.
the event list for every single calendar day. Okay, so I'm like, all right, I gotta basically reduce this list as I go through it, and then go, and in that imperative style, it's a very natural thing to do. I look through each day, and I know, I start my pointer, my index at zero for both, and then as I move through events, basically the last, as soon as I reach an event that's no longer on the day I'm on, I know I can move my day up and kind of
Yep.
continue the search, but I don't want to restart the search every time, right? I just want to continue moving that index forward,
Yep.
so that at
Classic
most,
two-pointer problem.
classic, right? And I was just like, I know how to do this. And then I was like, I wrote it in Elixir. And I was like, oh, I can't do this the way that I'm imagining.
You said, like, I can't do this.
Because iteration is done through recursion in Elixir. Like, there are some constructs that give you, they're really macros, I think, that look like an imperative loop, or
So
iteration.
it's like index plus one array, shorter array, isn't it? Like chop down the array
Yes,
essentially.
exactly. You're always
Interesting.
moving forward. The problem in a functional style using recursion is like, the first problem doesn't exist in Elixir, but that would be like, if you're always recursing, then on each stack, you're basically recopying that array down each stack. Now, Elixir and even Clojure back in the day, like they've optimized this so you're not actually recopying those arrays for every, it's called
Yeah.
still call
Sure.
optimization.
See
But
how it
like,
pops. Yep.
yeah. So that's kind of solved, but you don't actually have access to the indexes. So in this language and in this style of programming, what you end up having to do is basically you always pass in the reduced second list, first and second lists, and then have kind of the same function processing them until you reach an empty list, with one of them.
Interesting. That's cool.
So it's just, like, fundamentally, and I think this is like how I think about programming. It's like you build up this image of kind of what you're doing to the data in your code, and then you kind of write the code that supports that. This kind of like, a lot of what we do is like data transformation, maybe all of it. And that is like learning how to like build intuition around doing it in a basically the inverse style of programming
See, you
is
bring up a good point, and I know we're kind of running almost out of time, but we should continue this conversation. Actually, we should, our next conversation, we should talk about what we're doing in 2024 as well, and
love it.
like talk more about Erlang Elixir. But you bring up a really good point in like you had the visualization of what you wanted to do, and you knew how it worked. The data, you knew what the data looked like, and you knew how to interact with that data. But translating it back to code is vastly different in Go versus Elixir or versus Erlang. And it's like you want to like be able to transform that data and work on it, and you know how to do it in one language really well. And it's not like you don't know how to solve the problem. It's just that now it's a syntax thing. Like, how do I do it in this language?
Yes.
And being able to learn multiple languages like that is actually really, really good, right? Like that's what makes you a more well-rounded developer. And like the fact that you're even doing it is great, right? Because now you think about the problem slightly differently, which is cool.
Stretching this tiny brain hurts, let me tell you. But I'm trying to do it anyway.
No, I get you. That's awesome. Well, thanks for telling me about that. I gotta play with Elixir. I just gotta like try it.
It's fun. It's fun. I'm gonna tap you about Rust too at some
Please
point.
do. Yeah, I'd be happy to. I've been working through those books as well. I have so much to read, man. Like this shelf right here.
Oh, that's the ambition shelf.
This is the to read shelf. Yes. And these are
I
the ones that I'm currently reading up here. But
you
this one's
just have a
to
system.
read.
Mine is just like, I'm like, oh, I love this, but
Well,
wait, I haven't
because
finished reading.
everything on the bottom row, this bottom row is all red already. So that's done. Now I'm just making my
Calling
way.
CLRS done
I mean,
is
yeah,
almost
that one is like
any
not
time.
done in the sense of like reading cover to cover. It's more done in the sense of
Like
like,
have worked through a significant amount of
yes,
information. I
exactly.
totally get it. No. I got a tease
This
when I hear.
one, Linux programming interface, that's cover to cover. So is cracking the coding interview. That one's cover to cover.
Whoa,
don't know how I
your
did it, but I did
charming
it.
interface up there. It's
That 1,000-page book, yes.
yes. That I have not done that.
No, that one I read cover to cover last year, and
Dude.
it was great, but it was tough.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
That's an achievement.
tell me about it. But
Let's
anyway,
continue this in the first episode of 2024. What do you say?
I'm down. Let's do it.
It's been a pleasure, as always. I will
Of
see you on the
course.
internet.
I'll see you on the internet.